It is said that there are no atheists in foxholes. Not being in the military, I assume that's a good statement. What I do know is that there are people today behind bars, those that are in treatment plants, those who are in assemblies even, who claim to know Jesus, who claim to be believers, but don't understand what that means. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, as we get set up here. I'm going to mark the time down. It's terrible that we're so dependent on the clock, but I told Bill, I said, if it starts turning dark, I've talked too long. He said that he could give me the cut it off mark if we get a little bit too long-winded. In Matthew chapter 11, a couple of verses that I want to kind of point out to you. It is where Jesus is speaking, and he says, here we are. Come follow me. He says, come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Being a follower of Jesus is not a one-time act. It is not a once-and-done thing. Jesus talks in this passage that about, yes, he will give you rest, but what does he say also? Take my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, this morning I want to leave you with three thoughts, and that is believing in Jesus means changes. Believing in Jesus means growth, and believing in Jesus means a change in relationships. 3 points. Now, I wrote these to be sent in a series of letters to convicts who had heard of Jesus, who were claiming Jesus, but what I wanted them to understand that it is more than just a name only. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. He goes on to say, and through the writing of Paul, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, to which God has called him. In other words, don't let the if onlys control your life. I can be a better Christian if. Watch what he's addressing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Some of the people there got the idea, well, I could be a better Christian if I didn't have a wife. Or the contrary. I could be a better Christian if I had a wife, if I had somebody to support me. Some people will have that connotation, that thought, I could be a better Christian if I wasn't in jail. I would be a better Christian if I wasn't in the hospital bed. I would be a better Christian if, Paul says, as you find yourself, live that life which God has given you and has wherein you have been called. Believing in Jesus means changes in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 16 and following, he says, but as one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. That veil. We just mentioned a little bit about the veil in class this morning. That veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. See how that would appeal to those who are incarcerated? And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into one image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Well, what does all that mean? Well, let's boil it down to some Jackies. Jackies. Jack speak. What that means is, if you were in training to be a plumber's helper, you'd learn to speak the language. You would know the difference between a union and a coupling. You would learn the difference of how to identify leaks and how to solve them. You'd learn the difference of when to use black steel pipe and what, PVC 40? Schedule 40? What's the difference between Schedule 40 and Schedule 80? I'm not sure I know. But I'd expect a plumber to know. As an apprentice to a plumber, you would learn the plumber speak, the plumber's language. You would learn that you don't take a hammer to fix a pipe. What do you use? Maybe a pipe wrench? You learn a different type of language. And so what I'm talking about this morning is that if you're an apprentice to a plumber, you're not going to be a lawyer. It's different, isn't it? It makes sense in that degree. But what I'm saying is believing in Jesus means there's changes. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, Paul wrote, "For in Christ you are," what? "Sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized in Christ, Jesus have put on Christ." There has been a difference made in your life. If you put to death, as Dale read, your life. Being a believer means that we have clothed ourselves with Him and we have become an adopted child of His. We are now united with Him, just as He was in our reading this morning. As He was buried in a tomb, so we have buried our sins? Yes. What else have we buried? The reading that Dale gave us this morning of Romans chapter 6 talks about walking in newness of life. We have put to death that old life that we might walk in a new life. So therefore, let's look at a couple of thoughts there from that passage in Romans chapter 6. We therefore buried with Him by baptism into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might go on about our business as usual, right? No. There's a change. That we might walk in newness of life, for we have been united with Him in a death like His. We shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self, is this a change, has been crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. What a thought! What a thought! We're not alone. We have been united with Christ by being buried with Him and putting to death ourselves. There's power in that statement. There's strength. A friend of mine was an orphan. And as an orphan, he made his own decisions. Some were good and some were bad. He learned how to play the game to get what he wanted. He learned that nobody really had his back. Now, he could join a group of what we call brothers, a gang, where we might have similar ideas or similar thoughts or similar goals, but when push comes to shove, they were in it for themselves and not for him. He was adopted. His stepmother was an English lady. Father was an Okie. He received, as an adoptive son, a mother that loved him, a mother that cared for him, a mother that prepared his food, cleaned him up, and taught him. He received a father, one who would teach him life and how to behave and how to act. And yes, loved him. Both those adopted parents are passed on now. This friend learned a lesson. He's now married and has two children that he is teaching about how to live. What is important? What I'm telling you is that this adopted life changed his life. And so as we are adopted into Christ with our Father, and Christ is our brother, we have a changed life. To be a believer in Jesus, there's got to be changes. Let's be brutally honest here. No one's perfect. Anybody that claims to be perfect doesn't know Jesus. That's what John wrote in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Or 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. He says anyone that says they sin, they're lying. We all sin and have fallen short of the glory of God is what Paul says. Well, believing in Jesus means changes. But it means much more than just changes. It means growth as well. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, you were added to His body. As you confessed your sin, you repented, and you were being baptized. That's what Luke records happened in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 43. Those who heard His word, believed His word, repented of their sin, and confessed Jesus, were baptized. But there's something else that happened during that time too. You see, Peter talks about how they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were adopted into that family, just like my friend was that I mentioned. That Spirit was a new life. As a new life, a babe. Now, babies are cute, aren't they? Who does not like a little baby? They're cute, they're wiggly, they're lovable. But if a six-year-old still is a baby, we got some problems, don't we? Six-year-olds should be getting ready to go to school. They should know their name, not ooh. A six-year-old should be able, maybe even to count. There is some development that we understand. But if that same child is an 18-year-old and still wearing diapers, we've got more than a cause for concern. We've got a problem. So, believing in Jesus means growth. As a Christian, as a child of God, you are a baby. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse. Just in that example of the baby, cute and cuddly. But we're to grow. That's what what is said in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. We are to grow feeding upon the Word of God. We have to develop that spiritual appetite that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. When He said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be blessed. We need to grow. We need to grow. A friend of mine told me that he studies his Bible every day. He turns to a proverb. A proverb. And reads the proverb and then tries to apply it to his life. Now, the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, the wisest man on earth. It has many good things for us, but we need a balanced diet. When I lived north of the river, a friend did me a disservice. They turned me on to fried mushrooms. Anybody eat fried mushrooms? Fried mushrooms, I loved them. There's a place up in Parkville called In the Tub. And I, every day, went by in the tub. And guess what I ate? Fried mushrooms. Now, fried mushrooms, just the smell of the grease. Is that corn flour? Or is that cornmeal? I think they're in cornmeal most of the time. The grease that's hot and it's dripping, it suppresses the appetite. I don't know what it does. But I ate so many fried mushrooms that, let's be honest, I don't want any fungus among us. Okay? I even scrape them off of the pizzas. What I'm trying to say is we need a balanced diet. Man shall not live by fried mushrooms alone. And so, what we're talking about is growth. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. Yes, we're children of God. So we are. The reason why the world does not know us is it did not know Jesus. Beloved, we are God's children now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word. That is, by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We need growth. Believing in Jesus means growth. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen, is what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. So I want to look at that just for a minute. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 5, we'll read this, and I've kind of truncated it down, so if you've got your Bibles handy, you'll need to look at that. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. What is he saying? He's saying add to your faith virtue. And virtue? Knowledge. And knowledge, self-control. And self-control, steadfastness. And steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. Why? He says, because if these qualities are yours and they are increasing, you keep from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He continues on to say, whoever lacks these things are so nearsighted that they're blind. They've forgotten that their sins have been cleansed. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. If you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Believing means growth. If we're not growing, regardless of where we are, what does that tell us about our life? What does that tell us about our spiritual life? If we're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness' sake, if we're not hungering and thirsting for the Word of God, where's our growth? I get hungry at least 3 times a day. How often do we hunger for God's Word? Well, Peter goes on to say, for in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How? By our growth. By our adding to our faith, virtue, our virtue, knowledge, self-control. Well, what that means is we need to get behind the stained glass language and behind the church building doors. What does all that mean? Well, somebody gave to me just a thumb sketch, and I'll just share it with you real quick. What does that mean? Well, virtue, the determination to do what is right. A me-first attitude or a me-centered attitude is not reflective in Christ. Virtue. Knowledge. Knowledge is the knowledge of the Word of God. Because it is the only source that can teach us what is right. Self-control is the application of that knowledge in our lives, using it to govern our thoughts and our actions. Remember, it's Jesus that said, wasn't it? As a man thinketh, so is he. Yes, self-control. Steadfastness is the remaining true to the Lord and His cause. Godliness is like being like God. As He would have us to do, as He would have us to do. To view sin as He does. To speak and to seek to being holy as He is holy. Brotherly kindness is tender affection preferring one another toward brethren in Christ. And love, the devotion to God. Believing means growth. Believing means a third thought. And that may mean a change in relationships. So I want to just offer a quick thought here in change in relationships. Believing in Jesus means, well, let's look at it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, Paul writes, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have?" What does he say? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Who owns you? I turn to the pages of Facebook every day and nobody's going to tell me what to do. Is the thought. Who owns you? Believe in Jesus. Then you know that you're not your own. If you believe that God gave His, what? If God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? What? So that they would not perish but have everlasting life in Him? What is He saying? He's saying you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. For we have to have that same attitude as Jesus Himself had. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, He said, "I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me." It's not my will. When we talk about the communion and we talk about how Jesus on the night before He was arrested, before He was crucified, He wept. What? Sweat just like drops of blood. What did He pray? "Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to die. I don't want to be separated from God, my Father. I don't want the pain and the agony." But the bottom line was what? "Not my will, but your will be done." Being a believer means that there is a change in relationships. You can't keep on doing the same old thing without expecting the same old results. How many times have you been talking to somebody and they said, "I'm a believer in Christ"? "Oh, hi. Here's my friends." Were these the same friends that led you down the path to perdition? "Well, they're my friends. They're my family." We just heard a moment ago about there may be a change in relationships. Jesus said, "I came to bring a sword." That there's going to be a difference. Why? Because some people believe, some do not. Ephesians chapter 20 and 20, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul records to us, "Now to him who is abundant," you can read better than I can, "to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can think or ask according to the power at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." What a beautiful thought. And I've told this example many times here at Gregory. That is about taking my six-year-old nephew shopping and how we picked out cookies in one aisle and we picked out candy in another aisle. And then we turned the corner. Then we went down the toy aisle. And he wanted every toy there. And it was with great anxiety that I could get him out of the store without there being a problem. Why? Because he wanted everything. What is it Paul says that we've got in Christ Jesus? To Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can, what? Ask or think according to something working within us. The power of God working within us. To Him be the glory. And in the church, amen. The will of God must be more important than our own will. Peter put it this way, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves the same way of thinking. That means that we've got to have a change in thinking from what we previously did. Since therefore Jesus suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What does that mean? There's no atheists in foxholes. There's a lot of people that say, I believe in Jesus. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Change in relationships. For the time has passed, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Well, boil it down. Believing in Christ means that there has to be a change, there has to be growth, there has to be a change in relationships. Because Paul says, if therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. That means that we'll have new goals, new responsibilities, new attitudes, new outlooks, new standards. There's going to be a change. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If therefore you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, which where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things on the earth. What is really important? That this guy cut me off so that he could get to Walmart before me? Is that really important? For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, who is the life? Christ. Then you will also appear with Him in glory. Well, many hold to the promise, the thought, come unto me, all you laboring who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And God gives us a great promise. He doesn't charge us for it. He allows us to have it. We have that opportunity to take up His yoke. To learn to take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus said. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. The burden is light. Question is, do we believe? Do we have a changed life? Do we have changed relationship? Do we have growth? What does faith mean to you? Believing in Jesus means changes. It means growth. It means a change in relationships. This morning this lesson was brought to you. It's a series of three lessons that was sent to prisoners who think they have come to Jesus. And I was trying to explain to them that it's more than just words. It's change. It's a change in life. It's a change in thought. It's a change in purpose. It's a change. We're not our own. We have been bought by Him and His sacrifice. This morning, I give this message to you. If your life has been going through the motions, you need to consider how you need to come back to the faith in Him. then let us be of assistance to you. This morning, if you are ready to put your Lord on in baptism, to be united with Him, to begin this newness of life, looking forward to that time when we'll be able to be with Him in glory, we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing the song that has been selected.